Good morning, everyone.
I've written a tract about Leela James, and she's the lady that as a young girl, 4 years of age, was dumped on a railway station out in Queensland by her parents, never to see her parents again. And at 4 years old, she had to decide what she was going to do. She slept in the station waiting room and then was taken to a children's home. And at that children's home, she was treated very cruelly for about 10 years, became a ward of the state, working in a place that was accommodating people, like a guest house, where she again was treated very, very cruelly there. And she came to know the Lord Jesus in Gunnedah, and her testimony is here. And if you'd like these tracts to distribute, they're particularly good for people that have been wounded, but also for Roman Catholics, because she came out of the Roman Catholic Church and came to know the Lord as a saviour. I can provide you with a couple of thousand if you want to distribute around your neighbourhood. Just come and see me. If you want to see them, they're up in the back racks and they're also on the back table. If you want to turn, please, to Luke chapter 12. Last week, looked at Luke chapter 12, where we saw the parable of the rich fool. And following on from that parable, Jesus tells his disciples not to worry. Now, I know there wouldn't be any worriers here, but in just in case there's one or two, I would like to talk about worry. Someone has said, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Another person wrote, worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. You remember last week how we looked at the parable of the rich fool. And perhaps the rich fool was a worried man. The scriptures don't tell us that he was, but we know that he was a very successful farmer. And because of the bountiful crop that he had, he began to think about building bigger and better barns. Perhaps the rich man was worried over his excess and what he could do with that. Now, perhaps the disciples had the opposite worry. I don't think the disciples were worried about riches. Perhaps the disciples were worried about the day-to-day things of life. When you think about the disciples, they'd left all and followed the Lord Jesus. They'd left their occupations, and for around about 3 years, they travelled with the Lord Jesus itinerantly. And by giving up their occupations and following Jesus, they had to trust the Lord implicitly. But perhaps, as they were human beings like you and I, perhaps unlike the rich man who worried about the excesses, perhaps the disciples worried about the simple necessities of life. And of course, they had to trust the Lord Jesus. So after the parable in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this in verse 22, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. You might remember the story of Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian in World War II, and her and her family helped the Jews at the time of the Holocaust, helped get the Jews out of her country. And what happened to her was that Corrie and her sister ended up in a prison camp. And in that terrible conditions of those prison camps, the camp that they were in, Corrie ten Boom, along with her sister Betsy, encouraged the people in the prison camp. And Corrie ten Boom has a great testimony. And she wrote these words. She says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. It empties today of its strength. Worry can cripple us. Worry can strangle us. Jesus said, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Life can be full of worries if you allow them to affect you. And Jesus doesn't want us to worry about the physical. And that's what he informed his disciples. Someone else in the scriptures wrote about worry, and that was the Apostle Paul. And Paul in Philippians 4 said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul encouraged the Philippians not to worry. And notice he says, "My God shall supply all your need." He doesn't say all your wants, but all your need according to his riches. Paul also wrote to the Romans and he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God the Father didn't spare his own son for us, for our own good, for our own salvation. God the Father cares for us. Now, in saying that, I want to say that it's a fact of life that God's children do experience difficulties. We are going to have troubles. If you become a Christian, it's not a ride on an easy roller coaster. It's quite a difficult roller coaster. Years ago, I don't know if you remember that amusement park, Australia's Wonderland. Well, we used to go off to Australia's Wonderland. It was on a lot of acres out in the western suburbs there. And at Australia's Wonderland, they had two roller coasters. One of them was this one that towered above the western suburbs, and it was called the Bush Beast. And there was another little one, a tiny little one, and the tiny little one in Australia's Wonderland was for children and wimps. And we'd go to Australia's Wonderland, and Judy would take the children off to the Bush Beast, this incredible roller coaster. And when they were going off to the Bush Beast, I would go off to Cartoon Land, Hanna-Barbera Land, where all the kiddies' rides were. And I would ride the children's roller coaster. And that was so scary. It was so scary. Two roller coasters. Now, when you become a Christian, you're not on the kiddies' roller coaster. You're not going to Hanna-Barbera Land. You're involved in serious stuff. And there's going to be serious troubles and serious trials that come your way. It's not an easy roller coaster ride being a Christian. If you study the life of the Apostle Paul, he had a wild roller coaster ride. Think of some of the things that he said. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, he goes on to say this, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Apostle Paul had a wonderful attitude when trials and difficulties came his way. And I need to say, we need to be like that as believers. Trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. Wants are going to come. Needs are going to come our way.
But we need to trust the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Be careful for nothing." He's saying, "Don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Do you know how many times the word peace is mentioned in the scriptures? 400 times. 400 times the word peace is mentioned. We as God's people, in the midst of trials and tribulations, should have peace that surpasses all understanding. Non-Christians should look at you in your difficulties and think, how are they getting through it? And you're able to tell them, only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. If you've got some need, Jesus taught us to pray about our needs in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 verse 11, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." First reason why we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry because we can pray about it. Why worry when you can pray? The second reason is that God's word tells us that our Heavenly Father cares for us. We don't need to worry because we have a God in heaven who cares for each of us. There's two verses in the Bible that I like putting together. One is Job 5:7. Does anyone know what Job 5:7 says? Let me tell you, Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born..." It's actually not a favourite verse of mine, but it's a truthful verse. He says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." He gives a fair estimation of life. You know Job's story. He lost his farm. He lost his finances. He lost a lot of his family. He lost his fitness. And that's why he says those things. "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Well, that's Job 5:7. So when you're having a Job 5:7 day, what you need to do is go to 1 Peter 5:7. So just remember this, Job 5:7. I'm having a Job 5:7 day. Man is born unto trouble. I have those days. But you've got to go to 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Job 5:7, man is born under trouble. That's true. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The psalmist said this, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." You know, even if you get really bad news from the doctor, even if the doctor tells you, "Look, you've got a couple of months to live," you can have peace. Even when you know that I've perhaps got a sickness that is going to plague me for the rest of my life, you can have peace. What did David say in Psalm 23? Psalm 23 verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Here is David, and he's going through the valley of the shadow of death. What's he going through? Well, David went through some very difficult stuff in his life. Someone was after him. Saul was after him to kill him. He knew what it was like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet God was with him. God was his shepherd, and he knew that. The Lord not only cares about our trials, but he is with us in our trials. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, there's something that Christians can do that non-Christians can't do. Christians can take their troubles to the Lord, whom they know can deliver them. He may not always deliver us from our troubles, but we can take our burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why we can take our burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ is because we know him as our Saviour. We've recognised the fact that we're sinners who deserve hell, but Christ has come and paid the penalty for our sins. But apart from the fact that he is our Saviour, Jesus Christ has walked this earth before, so he knows, he understands what we have gone through. The scriptures testify to that. Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus understands our trials and temptations because God became man. He was tempted in all points like us, so we can go to him. Does anyone know what's happening in parks this weekend? Sorry? It's the Elvis Festival. If you've been watching the news, I think three trains have left from Central Station to go all the way out to parks, and you'll have all these Elvis imitators out there that you can listen to. Judy and I, we must go there one day. Now, people have different points of view about Elvis. Some people like Elvis, some people hate Elvis. Let me tell you one thing about Elvis. He had a tremendous gift from God. That voice was not his own doing. That voice was a gift that God gave him. Unfortunately, when you trace his life, he squandered his gift. He squandered his life. He misused his gift, and his life ended up in tragedy. But getting back to Elvis, 1972, he puts out an album, and his album was called Elvis Now. And in that album, he had a bit of a hit, and this was the hit. It was called Put Your Hand in the Hand. And this is the lyrics. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Oh, yeah. That's how he finishes it, right? That's how he finished his song, right? Elvis. Actually, Elvis is alive somewhere. Somewhere. We're all eternal beings. But Elvis, in that 1972 hit, expressed some profound truth. We can put our hand in the man, the hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, because he's walked our way. The Lord Jesus Christ, how he understands, he's in glory now, he's ascended into heaven, he's at the right hand of the Father, but we can petition and we can pray to him, and he, as God in the heavens, the God who walked this earth as a man of Galilee, he understands. 400 references to peace in the Bible, and Jesus can give you peace every time you go through a difficulty. When we were at Bible college, Judy and I had to do memory. And the memory teacher, would come once a week and our whole class would be sitting down in class and he'd say, Vince, what's the memory verse for this week? Or Tom, what was the memory verse for last week? And no notes, in terror, we were supposed to quote the memory verses that we'd learnt. And one of them that I'll never forget was from Isaiah chapter 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It was all King James back then. And so we had to learn. And that was one that can keep me in perfect peace right now. That was back way back in the 90s, last century. But I still remember that verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. You want peace? You have 400 troubles? There's 400 verses to answer it. But you can have perfect peace if your mind is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 6, let your requests be made known unto God, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ gives a peace that the world does not know anything about. And he gives it, he imparts it to us as we respond to God's word. This is the third prescription for worry. The third reason why we should not worry is that when you worry, you are actually denying God's word. It's sin to worry. You are denying God's word. The Bible is full of God's promises of protection and provision. And so when we start to worry, we're denying God's promises, and that's called unbelief. And unbelief is sin. Let me give you an illustration. Remember the children of Israel? They were taken out from being under Pharaoh. They'd been down there and they were in captivity and bondage, and God raises up Moses and Moses speaks to Pharaoh, let my people go. And we know this story. God's people were let go. And they went through the miracle of the Red Sea, and the people of Israel saw God work on their behalf tremendously. It was amazing. The most incredible, amazing fighting force probably in the universe at that time was the Egyptians. And yet God defeats the Egyptians and he frees the Israelites, and he does it all miraculously, and God's people are free. Well, then you come to the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 13, the same people that have been released, the same people that have been rescued out of the bondage of Pharaoh, they're asked by God through Moses to go and explore the promised land. God was going to give them the land of Canaan, a land full of milk and honey. And you know the story in Numbers chapter 13, the verse 1 or 2. God says that he has given them the land. I'm giving the land to you. So the land was theirs. So they send 12 spies out. And 12 spies go out into the land. And you know what happened? They see the land. It's a land of giants and fortified cities. It's a land of milk and honey. And they come back and they bring a report. And what they brought back, they bring back grapes. But unfortunately, 10 spies brought back gripes as well. Grapes and gripes. Only 2 spies didn't have gripes. And that was Joshua and Caleb. So 10 spies bring back an evil report. They stir up all the people, and the people decide in their unbelief, even though God had said through Moses, he'd given his word that the land was theirs, they refused to go into the promised land. And so for 40 years, in their unbelief, they become wilderness wanderers. They were meant to be Canaan conquerors. But they ended up becoming wilderness wanderers simply because they didn't believe God's word. You know, we're meant to be Canaan conquerors. Now, this isn't the promised land here. We've got a land far away in the glory for each of us. But we should be conquerors on this earth. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, the Apostle Paul said. We're meant to be conquerors. But if you deny God's word, then you are in unbelief. And worry is actually denying the word of God. That's pretty sad. Oswald Chambers said this: worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. True. True point there. Jesus in Luke 12 there says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Let me give you a fifth reason why we shouldn't worry. Simply, worry is a bad testimony to others, both Christians and non-Christians. I know in my life there are times that Judy looks at me and it looks as though I've swallowed the Book of Lamentations. And there are Christians that go around and that's what they look like. They look like they've swallowed several volumes of the books of Lamentations, of the Book of Lamentations. We shouldn't look like that. We should have a peace that passes all understanding. Here's an example. It's midnight. Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, are in prison. They've just been beaten. They have many stripes on their backs. And they're at midnight. What are they doing? Worrying? Is that what the scripture says? Absolutely not. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What a wonderful testimony at midnight. You know, I think between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning, that can be some of the saddest hours for people. There are people that are troubled in their sleep between those 2 hours, and those 2 hours can really get people down. But here are two men that have been beaten. They're in the innermost dungeon, the dark place. And in that darkness, they're singing praises to the Lord. What a testimony. A testimony to the whole prison. And we know they were a testimony to the prison keeper, because the prison keeper asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he was saved. We need to have a good testimony as Christians. So you might be in the midnight hour now. You might have got up this morning and think, "I don't want to live anymore. Life is too difficult for me." In the midnight hour, we need to turn to the scriptures and see what Paul and Silas did. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Last one here. The sixth reason why we shouldn't worry is because as Christians, our trials will soon be over. I'm going to a place where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin, no more worry. I'm going to a place where there are streets of gold, where there is the cry of the praises of angels and the songs of the redeemed that will echo throughout the halls of heaven. Our worries here are just temporal. We've got a far better place in glory. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Your afflictions are working for you. Do you know that? How do I know that? Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good for them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose." He says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Our trials will not last forever. We're going to the place of forevers, where forever there'll be no trials or suffering or pain. Jesus says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." At the beginning of the service, I mentioned this tract, and Leela James went through some terrible times in her life, beginning at the age of 4. And I was speaking the other week to her on the phone, and she was indicating that she's got hip troubles and it's hard for her to get out of bed. But she told me how she encourages herself. And she talks to herself and she says this. Her name's Leela James. She says, "James, you are going to have a humdinger of a day." This is a lady that's trying to crawl out of a bed. And then she says, "James, you are going to have a colossal day." And then she says this, "James, you are going to have a hallelujah day." And then she gets out of bed and she does what she needs to do. How can a person do that? Well, this is what she writes. My faith and trust in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, has grown each day. How gracious was he, for I knew very little of Scripture and had no relationship with my Redeemer. By his grace alone, I've been given stupendous faith and unstressed life, freedom of my soul and mind, and the knowledge that I am loved by Jesus and so many caring Christians. The title is Abandoned, Tortured, but Redeemed. She knows the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour, and she knows the Lord Jesus Christ as her Keeper. There are six prescriptions there that I've given you about worry. We need not worry if we know Christ as our Saviour. We need not worry because God has our future in his hands. Let me just close with this final story. I read about some men that were on a leaky ship in a stormy sea, and they were fearful for their lives. And one man decided out of the crew that he would go and speak to the captain. And he went to speak to the captain about his concerns of how possibly the ship was going to sink. And this is the captain's response. He said, "The boilers on this ship are very weak and may explode at any moment." Now, this is an encouragement for the crew member. "The ship is old and she's taking on water. We may have an explosion or we may sink. We may go up or we may go down, but at any rate, we are going on." As we face 2019, we're on a leaky ship. This world is tottering. It could explode in war at any time. We are in some very difficult times. But if you're a Christian, the fact is that you maybe tomorrow might be going up. You might be going up in the rapture of the church. If the rapture doesn't happen this day, there might be some of you that are actually going to go down before the rapture. But if you're going to go down and you know Jesus as your Saviour, you're going to go up. So whether you go up or whether you go down, the most important thing is you keep going on, just as the captain said. And we can keep going on in all our trials and our temptations and our difficulties if the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour. And if we cast all our care upon him, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.